It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Stephen Skeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. We've been measuring the effects and the side effects of a hunt for the Taliban.
The American military is engaged in an operation called Dragon Strike. It's an effort to clear the countryside outside Kandahar, Afghanistan.
That's the southern city that was once the heart of the Taliban's power. The good news is that the Taliban are fleeing the countryside.
The bad news is where they're going instead. We have two reports this morning, starting with NPR Pentagon correspondent Tom Bowman.
Captain Brant Augie and Bravo Company have spent weeks clearing Taliban from the orchards and villages just west of Kandahar City. He's standing at an abandoned village, once a nest for Taliban fighters.
Last couple months after we started our clearance ops, it's completely emptied out, and we haven't seen any activity.
It's the same story throughout this 10-mile-long battle zone. The Taliban have fled, along with much of the population.
All the populace is displaced currently.
Captain David Broderick commands Bravo Company, which is clearing the Panjway district, a half dozen miles from Captain Augie's outpost.
The Taliban is what we believe pushed them out of here to use this area. It's kind of a base of operations for them.
And now that the American military operation called Dragon Strike is nearing completion, American officers say they are seeing the Taliban react and improvise. The key feature of the new Taliban strategy. Additional fighters, reinforcements really, are arriving even as the Americans push out other Taliban in the area. Major Basil Mixon is an intelligence officer with the 101st Airborne.
The Taliban are drawing fighters from across districts and provinces.
Like the Argandab district, just north of Kandahar City, neighboring Helmand province, and from Pakistan as well. The Americans are already seeing evidence of the reinforcements. Outside Kandahar City, they have just arrested a suspected Taliban cell leader and other fighters they say come from Pakistan. A dozen elders from the local village arrive at an American combat outpost to try to get some of the suspects released.
He says that to ensure you the guys that you took or captured, they are not a bad guy.
After the elders leave, the commander here, Captain Nick Stout, says he has more than enough information on one of the detainees, a suspected Taliban cell leader who the Americans think plotted a motorcycle suicide attack that killed two U.S. soldiers. That suspect sits apart from a dozen others. He's sitting in a wooden shed, handcuffed, his face pointing towards the wall. Captain Stout says that suicide attack was just the beginning.
The reporting that we were receiving was that they were planning to launch a series of complex attacks, specifically suicide attacks, in between the Zari district and into Kandahar City.
Kandahar City, that's always been the prize for both the Americans and the Taliban. It's the country's second largest city and the home base of the insurgency. Now that the military operation outside the city is nearing an end, the Americans plan on spending the winter building up local governments, providing jobs and services to the people as a way to blunt the insurgency. Major Mixon, the intelligence officer, says the Taliban also have a plan for the winter.
Some of them gone into Kandahar City. I also believe, though, that's part of a larger campaign plan for the Taliban.
Meaning the fight may shift from the outskirts of Kandahar to the city itself. Tom Bowman, NPR News. The Zari district outside Kandahar.
And that's where we're going next, where the refugees as well as the Taliban have fled. Here's NPR's Quill Lawrence.
In the center of Kandahar, men are crowding the square near the governor's office, wearing wool blankets across their shoulders against the early morning chill. They mob each visitor who walks by or pulls up in a motorized rickshaw, offering a day's labor. I've got papers, one of them says, trying to stand out in the crowd. The government has ruled that only documented Afghans can work. These men are almost all recently uprooted from the orchards and farms of Argandab and Zari districts outside the city. Now they're packed into Kandahar's poorest neighborhoods. None of the displaced men would give their names, but a few agreed to talk. Don't judge me by these paupers' clothes, says one. He fled Zari district 2 months ago. The Taliban filled the orchards and roads with landmines and booby traps, he says. When an American convoy would hit one of the massive bombs, U.S. helicopters and jets would rocket the area. Explosions destroyed his vineyard and his water pump, he says. After he lost a son and a nephew, the man packed up his family and moved to the city. Now he does hard labor for 200 Afghanis a day, about $4. Others tell similar stories about the destruction of a simple but viable life in the rich farmland outside the city. They seem to fear the Americans and the Taliban equally. Reconstruction aid, they say, is going only to the cronies of the government. We're tired of complaining, says another farmer displaced from Zari. Only God can help us. But civilians are not the only ones coming to town. The sound of motorcycles has become more frightening with a wave of assassins on motorbikes. Abdulrazak Palwal, a Kandahari writer, says no one feels safe.
The writers do not express themselves quite openly because they're afraid. Even the religious people, they are shot in the mosques inside if they say anything against Taliban.
But the Taliban have found plenty of support here, which allows them to slip in among the civilian population. Young men have been encouraged to wage jihad against foreign forces in Afghanistan by preachers in the mosques, as well as popular cell phone videos and ringtones heard around the city. One sings that anyone who works with non-Muslims has lost his dignity and is no longer considered human, which would seem to give license to the wave of assassinations.
Just last week, they shoot my one employee in the city, and just yesterday he died.
Ghulab Haider Hamidi, Kandahar's mayor for nearly 4 years, says the government workers who die are usually low-level clerks, people who have no bodyguards or even their own cars to drive. Hamidi has survived multiple attempts on his own life, and last April gunmen murdered his deputy while the man knelt to pray in a mosque. Hamidi says security has improved. The Taliban are less able to stage big car bombings inside Kandahar. And recently, he's driven roads outside the city that had been no-go areas for years. But still, for the 119 positions on his staff, he can find only 45 people brave enough to take jobs.
My key employees quit the job. They are sitting in home because of the security.
The same morning as this interview last week, Hamidi lost another colleague. Usted Ahmed Khan, who was deputy head of Kandahar's Department of Literacy, gunned down as he went to work. Quill Lawrence, NPR News.
The results of that Kandahar operation will be one factor in the Obama administration's December review of Afghanistan policy.
White House officials have been visiting Afghanistan as well as Pakistan to see how the effort is going. President Obama is aiming to at least begin withdrawing troops from Afghanistan in the middle of next year.
Several lawmakers are in Kabul today to make their own assessments. They include Republican Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham,
as well as Senator Joe Lieberman and Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.